So I wish I could give you the magic pill, the key to it all. I've told you over and over and over and over again, 14 different ways, the same story. But most people I found, they just haven't got the stomach, or they haven't got the substance inside themselves to actually walk in victory. Most Christians are so bound up with their traditions and their ideas and their own version of Christianity that they don't have the stomach to abandon it all and to go after the real stuff, to go after the true treasure. And that really is freedom. See, Jesus came to the earth to bring us the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God brings freedom. But nobody seems to be able to walk in proper freedom, because they're either barking up the wrong tree, like a dog barking up a tree, trying to go after a raccoon or a possum, but they're just barking up the wrong tree. And the answer is not in that tree. The answer is not in your own head. It's not in your own theology. It's not in your own church ideas. The answer is in Jesus Christ, and it's in His Word. The answer is in Jesus Christ and His Word, in the clarity of His Word. It's an instruction manual, and it will fix every single thing in your life up. There is wisdom in the Word of God for every aspect of your life. I'll say it again. There is wisdom in the Word of God, in the Bible, for every single situation that your life encounters. There is an answer. Not just an answer, but the answer. Not just an answer, but the answer. The answer. The one and only answer. How many times can I say it? Yet you'll go after your own ways. You'll go and follow your own church, and you'll mingle the wisdom of your so-called religion or religious ideas with the Word of God. And you wonder why you don't get traction. So I keep telling you the same thing. There are people say to me all the time, how do you get to where you got? I say, it wasn't easy because nobody taught me. I had no one to teach me. God separated me from all of the half-baked ideas that some Christians turn up with. And He separated me purposely, and there was no way in the world I could connect with other Christians. He totally shut me off from other Christians. And it wasn't that I said horrible things to them. It was a spiritual shutting off. When I went around Christians, they said to me, there's something wrong with you, mate. And I would scan my little brain over and over again saying, well, what is it? And they couldn't point it out. I eventually come to the conclusion that it's spiritual. And I figured out that it wasn't something wrong with me, it was wrong with them. Because the Lord told me, shall know them by their fruits. So they're living with women, they're drinking and they're smoking cigarettes, and they're just, lost in their own little world. But they're the ones that are saying there's something wrong with me. It's because the darkness was in them. You know, it's quite funny, but it took me a while to figure out the darkness was in them and not in me. After continual, truth coming to me over and over again, I had to consider that the darkness was in them. I always considered the darkness was in me. I always thought, well, maybe there's something wrong with me. So I scoured, I scanned, I searched, I turned over everything in my life to try and find what that was. And I couldn't find anything, not of any great significance. So I just had to yield to the Lord, and the Lord started ministering to me, and He said, it's them. Everybody wants to say, it's them, it's not me. It's them, it's their fault, not me. Everybody wants to say that. Everybody wants to come to that conclusion. I must be strange, because I really didn't want to come to that conclusion. I thought that it always had to be me. The trouble always had to be me. But when after 36 years of walking in the Lord, I'm fully convinced it's them now. And I'm no longer beating myself up for nothing, hoping that maybe I'll find the problem in me, but it's in mankind. It's in the world. It's in church and Christendom that actually smells of the world. That's it. If you find a Christian that's on fire, it's not because of themselves. It's because they've sought the Lord personally themselves. And they've stepped out of the world. They stepped out of religion and they went after God. And they get on fire. And then they become a target. They become the one that smells to the world. The world goes, "You smell." Because the world loves itself. It loves its own. And they do not love people of God. They absolutely do not love the people of God. The interesting thing I've seen, I've been super nice to people, polite, done everything I could to help them. But the thing that pushes them away from me is the spiritual realm. I have the Holy Spirit inside me. No matter how nice you are to people, no matter how giving you are to people, no matter how pleasant you are to them, they'll always hate you deep down inside because you are the light. You carry the light of the world. And it's spiritual that you're dealing with. If the spiritual component was taken out and we were just natural, people would love me because I try and be nice to people. I try and be polite to people. I try and give them the better half of the deal. All the time, I always try to prefer them. So you think they would like me, wouldn't you? You think they would say, "Tom, he's a great guy." Well, a lot of people say, "Tom, he's a great guy, but there's something wrong with him." And it's because they can't connect spiritually, because they're in darkness. So I learned to get over it. I just got over it. And I started going to the Lord and saying, "Okay, how does this work?" So it's very simple. You know, this world is full of darkness. And it's there to drag you down. It's there to impound or impede on your spiritual position. But if you stand in Jesus, if you let the Holy Spirit guide you and lead you into all truth, then you'll always be at odds. You can be the nicest person in the world, but as soon as you get spirit-filled, you're at odds with the world. You have jumped ship. It doesn't matter how nice you are. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter whether you've got 7 Nobel Prizes to your name and everybody has statues to the great whoever you are. As soon as you get filled with the Holy Spirit and you start making traction in the kingdom of God, people will be at odds with you. There is no way out of it. So you either step into the Lord or you step into evil. You either walk in darkness or you walk in the light. You won't be able to sit on a fence. And the more that you have God inside you, the more that you allow the Holy Spirit to take residence up inside you and to transform you, the more you will get off the fence. You will not be able to sit on the fence. You won't be able to have half and half. There's a lot of Christians who are walking around and everybody loves them. They pat them on the back and say, "You're just a really nice guy," because they don't have the light of God inside them. They don't have that thing inside them that separates them from darkness. Once they start praying, all hell breaks loose in their life. Once they start praying, the enemy rears up and says, "You're not allowed to be with me anymore," and causes you massive amounts of trouble. So you have to make the choice. Are you going to walk in the Lord in His marvelous light? Or are you going to sit on the fence? And God does not like fence sitters. They're the worst things in the kingdom of God. Fence sitters, according to the word of God, are an abomination. And God doesn't have any joy in them whatsoever. The Bible says in Revelations, "I would rather you hot or cold, but not lukewarm." So God would rather you cold than lukewarm. Obviously, He'd love you hot, but He would rather you cold than lukewarm. That's pretty bad, isn't it? You've got nowhere to go. You've got to make a choice. And if you don't make that choice, right, God will make it for you. He will stretch you and twist you until you get off that fence. And you make a choice. You go either go into the world and forget about God, which is pretty impossible, or you go to the light. And you go to it with as much speed and velocity as you can. And then God will wait for you with his arms open, ready to receive you as a father receives a son. And he will shower blessing on you. But you know, first you've got to get past the enemy. The enemy does not want you to get off the fence. He is banking or backing you to stay on the fence. He is hoping that you will stay in the fence. He is working around you to make sure you stay on the fence. That you compromise. That you have half and half, that you have mixture. If you start becoming pure and holy in the sight of God, he will cause your life to crash and burn so that you will run back to the fence. But it's up to you. You know, God said that Jesus overcame the world. So he has given you a template to overcome darkness so that you can get off the fence and you can go and walk in his marvelous light. You know, my life, this is my life now. I get people ring me up all the time. They say, Tom, I've got demons all over me. Tom, this stuff's happened to me. Blah, 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 blah. Tom. And I just know that I used to be like that. But now I'm in a place where all I do is I just think about the Lord. I just have joy. I have peace. I have clarity. I have I walk in righteousness. I just feel calm. I feel just wonderful. And it doesn't just like 3 days a week, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. I feel wonderful. I feel at peace because I got off the fence and I went towards the Lord. And I said to the Holy Spirit, how do I do this? I didn't have any Christians to teach me how to get off the fence and how to walk towards his marvelous light effectively. But it's quite wonderful because God has given us the Spirit, his Spirit, to get us off the fence effectively and to walk into his marvelous light and to leave this compound that the enemy has got us in, to drop all the chains and to walk free. And now I'm free. Am I completely free? No, I believe no one's ever free. There's the world. The world will always impound on your life. The world will always try to encroach on your life. The world will always try to influence your life. But if you walk in his marvelous light, it's like a distant voice from a long, long way away trying to get your attention. It's very difficult because you're in a wonderful place. And there's no way you're going to leave that wonderful place. I have to maintain my walk. I pray. I think about the Lord. I read the Bible. I study the Bible. But most of all, the real juice is I just walk in his presence. So praying in tongues got me to walk in his presence. Praying in tongues gave me the end game. Praying in tongues gave me the revelation on how to walk through the minefield so that I never got blown up. Praying in tongues gave me the key into the presence of God. Then once I got into the presence of God, praying in tongues and the Holy Spirit taught me how to worship, because the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. The true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father is spirit, and he seeks such to worship him in spirit and in truth. So what is spirit and truth? Well, praying in tongues and praying in English inspired by the Holy Spirit. So when you're worshipping, you pray in tongues, and all of a sudden you start to get you feeling joy and peace, and you feel nice feelings, and you say to the Lord, you're lovely. And it's not coming from just a theatrical mindset that you just know. Well, if you just say, I think you're lovely, that's going to do something. It doesn't really do much. But when it comes from an inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it means everything to the Lord. Because you're being inspired by the Spirit of truth. You're becoming a worshiper, a true worshiper, who worships the Father in spirit and in truth. So when you actually speak out in English the wonderful things to the Lord, it's coming from a place of genuine belief and feeling. And you're getting caught up in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And you're speaking in English the inspirational things that God has given you while you're in worship. Now, if you start praying in tongues, Holy Spirit will actually give you the inspirational words that you can say to Him. So I say to people, how to effectively step into worship. When you started praying in tongues, you found that you could pray in tongues and think other things. Because praying in tongues does not come from your head. It comes from your spirit, which is maybe sort of in your chest, in your innermost being, in the central part of your chest, wherever you want to call it. And that part is where your heart is where the spirit seems to dwell. And the spirit, when you speak in tongues, the language is formed from your inside you and it comes out your mouth when you pray in tongues. When you speak inspirational words that are inspired by the Holy Spirit and not by your head, when you speak inspirational words that are inspired by the Holy Spirit, they come from that same place. They don't come from your head. They come from where your spirit dwells. So when you speak, you're speaking inspired words of God in English. Now you can speak words of God out of your head, but they're not inspired. They only come from your head. They come from a place that you've heard, you made up, and it's in your head. It's an intellectual thing. You've read lots of scriptures. You've quoted lots of scriptures, and that comes from your head. You can go to somebody and speak to them from your knowledge base in your head about Jesus, and they'll hear you, but they won't be touched, because you're coming from an intellectual part, a part from your mind, from your head, and you're speaking to them from head knowledge. But when you speak to them from spirit knowledge, it comes from the innermost parts of you, inside your chest, I will just call it your chest, and it comes out and it inspires people because it's coming from the spirit. So two places, one comes from your head and one comes from your spirit. And when you're inspired by your spirit, things happen, people are touched, lives are changed. When you speak from your head, well, only intellectual stuff happens. That's all. It doesn't seem to do much. You can speak 1,000 words from your head, right, and try to inspire somebody, and you can speak 5 words from your heart, from the spirit, and inspire people. That's incredible. But if you don't know where it all comes from and how it all functions, you're just going to be using your head all the time and not getting anywhere and wondering why you've got no traction. So the Holy Spirit has come to guide you into all truth. And one of the truths is, if you let the Holy Spirit be the source of your spiritual inspiration, you will get traction. So if you let the Holy Spirit be the source of your inspiration, you will get traction. You say, why do you keep repeating yourself? Because you need to hear this and understand it. It's not something we just want to whiz over. I want to make a point. This is super important. If you understand this podcast, if you listen to it over and over and over again, you might just get it. It's simple. But because we think with our head, we can't get spiritual things. Because we think with our head and our mind, our whole life is framed by our mind and our head, we can't get traction. We don't seem to be able to penetrate the truth of the kingdom of God. It all comes from the Spirit. So you have to learn to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. So I teach people to walk in the Spirit. I had a brother, he prayed a lot, he fasted a lot, but he wasn't really good at stepping into the presence of God. So Don and I went and we said, okay, sit down. We walked behind him, we put a hand on him, and we would just release the presence of God into him. And he felt it. And he got whacked. He felt the presence. People say, what do you mean by getting whacked? Well, I don't really... It's getting whacked. You know, if someone slaps you silly and you fall on the ground, you got whacked. But if God slaps you silly, you don't feel pain. You feel joy. Okay? I don't know how to explain it. In layman terms, it's like getting stoned on drugs. Okay? But you seem to have clarity. Okay? In alcoholic terms, it's like getting drunk. Right? You step out of your thing and you move into a beautiful place. Okay, so I don't get drunk. I've never really been drunk in my whole life, basically. I've been stoned a lot, so I can use that. But, you know, the things of God are not like being stoned. Although taking drugs moves you into a spiritual platform, into a spiritual place. That's why people who do, you know, demon worship stuff, you know, they get into sexual stuff and they get into drugs. Anything that opens the mind up. And it lets the spiritual realm flood in. Music, the same thing. It lets the spiritual realm flood in. But what you want is you want the Holy Spirit to flood into your life, not any other spirit. So if you pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, will lead you unto all worship. Anyway, we put a hand on this brother, and he got whacked. And then later on, we put a hand on him again, and he got whacked again. And then when he went home, he was able to step into that place because he learned that it actually exists. He actually learned how to drop into the Spirit. Yeah, dropping into the Spirit is not a hard thing. It's so easy. It's like turning a tap on. You know, when I get people praying in tongues for the first time, I stop them. And then I pray with them again, and they get them to start again. And then I stop them. I talk to them for a couple of minutes. Then I start again. Then I stop them. And then I say, see, you can do this anytime you want. They go, yeah, that's amazing. I say, and that gives them proof that they can switch the light on with faith. If you sit a person on a chair, and they sit down, and it holds their weight, and you get them up, and then you sit them down, you get them up, sit them down, then you can walk away and say, go and sit on the chair, and they'll just sit on the chair, because they know it holds their weight. Through action, faith is formed. You know, if you put your hand in hot water, boiling hot water, then you will have faith not to put your hand back in that hot water again. Okay? Because you've learned. So, I teach people to step into the spiritual realm. And it's right in their face. They didn't know how easy it was. And so, you know, when you speak in tongues, you're learning, oh, okay, I can speak in tongues anytime I want. And you don't switch on speaking in tongues by your head. It comes from your spirit, from your chest. And that's where your language is formed. So when you speak in English, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, it comes from that chest area. It comes from the spirit area. Does it come from your head? There's a lot of people who are worshiping God with their head. They are saying prayers with their head. And they're ineffective. They're not doing anything. And they can't really understand God. So we're going to talk a lot about this thin veneer that the Lord has He's given to every mankind to know. You know, I will talk about that later. We'll go into great detail about that. That thin veneer of revelation that God has given to all mankind to have. All mankind. It's past that thin veneer. You need the Holy Spirit. So that thin veneer is Christ crucified. That's it. It's the platform that you can build your spiritual life on. But you need the Spirit to build on that platform, above that platform, to build the rest of the house. But that slab of cement, that rock, is given to every single human being if they'll just look and listen. They can perceive the gospel message, Christ crucified. They can perceive that. They don't need the Holy Spirit inside them. The Holy Spirit will move on them and convict them of their sin, of their position. But after that, they have to actually have the Holy Spirit inside them to know anything past that. So we'll talk about that later. But I want you to understand that stepping into the things of God is simple. The hard part is getting rid of all the junk that tells you you can't. That's the hard part. Because this world is wrapped around us. And we need to unwrap ourselves from this rubbish, from these false lies, these things that cause us to stay on the fence or to stay bogged to the axles. Praying in tongues will do that for you. But when you start praying enough, you'll start to learn to worship effectively through your spirit, and then the juice will really flow. I mean, the juice will really flow. You know, worship is the greatest position you can have in the kingdom of God. Worshipping God from your spirit, not from your head, is the most powerful position that you can walk in. Speaking in tongues gives you revelation, but worship brings you into a position that is powerful. There is nothing more powerful than worshipping the Father in the spirit, because the love of God comes and you walk in this love and you walk in Him and His glory and His presence, and it all comes. And that's where you want to dwell for eternity, is in His presence, worshiping Him, lifting your hands to Him, speaking words of inspiration from the Holy Spirit that's inside you about the Father and the Son through the Holy Spirit forever and ever. You will walk in that position of true worship. And it is the most exhilarating, most wonderfulest position that you can find yourself in this realm and in the one to come. So we'll leave it there.